Thank you very much, and thank you for that good singing this morning. It certainly thrills our hearts and prepares our souls to hear from God's Word once again. Please turn in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. John's Gospel, chapter 21, where we're going to just notice three verses as we take up the theme, the shepherd's heart and skill. As you find your place in John 21, just like to thank you for the privilege of being here. First time for me at the National Workers and Elders Conference. I feel like a lion in a den of Daniels. Well, maybe not quite that bad. I know that we're here because we want to be here. We want to hear God's voice speaking to us through His Word. We want to be blessed so that we can be a blessing when we return and do a better job in our work as shepherds and elders and workers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our theme, I don't know a better theme that we could take up at a time like this, especially in the condition that we see around us. And so let's start in this particular session looking at the shepherd's heart and skill, and we'll take these three verses from John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, as the verses that I'll use in my session. John 21:15 says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know all things,' or 'you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' And then verse 17, he said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" We trust that we'll know the Lord's blessing and message through His wonderful Word. Let's pray once more together. Our Father, as we bow our hearts in Your presence, we want to thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. We thank You that when we were going astray, He found us, put us on His shoulders, and came back rejoicing. And Father, we rejoice in Him this morning. We pray that as we seek to better understand the heart and skill of the shepherd, that we might follow His example and have a real heart, Father, for those around us, that we might seek to be an encouragement to their hearts as they seek to live for You. Now, Father, bless Your Word to our hearts, we pray, in the great name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, not everyone here has the particular responsibility of oversight, but most of us are here because we have a burden to see the flock of God's people cared for. And it's wonderful to know that there's a good variety here, that while we all have different areas of ministry, it's all a good working organization that God has provided for us through His Word. It really is the layout for us that we can still follow those principles that have been working since the establishment of the church. In fact, this is God's program and plan. And as we follow it, we find that it meets the need that we have and that the people of God have in this day and time. But the very heart of it, of course, we're going to see in this first session, is the heart of the shepherds, that we might have hearts to do His will, and that He would work in our lives, even through our little, and turn it into a lot, that it might be to the benefit of God's people. But on this matter of all having a different part, would you take a moment, hold your place here, and just flip over to the book of Ephesians with me, where we have pastors, or shepherds, mentioned. And if that's this mic, you can turn it off, and I'll be fine with these. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, please. And in verse 11, you see the various gifts that are given to the church. These are believers, workers, the gifts that God has raised up to be a benefit to the church overall. And in Ephesians chapter 4, we read of our risen Lord that He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. And we see a plurality. Now, of course, it's a help just to use an illustration, so I'm going to use my hand. It's a handy illustration, if you will. And in this hand illustration, it shows us that there's a good working together of all the various ministries that are represented here in the Word and right here with us. Of those five gifts mentioned given to the church, you have the apostles, you have the prophets, you have evangelists, and you have pastors, and you have teachers. And in the plurality, not only of each one, and thank the Lord it's that way, as we seek to serve together, there's also a variety of gifts and ministries, like the apostles. Letting my thumb represent the apostles, because it's really the stability, the foundation of my hand. It helps me to get a grip on things, and that's what the apostles have done as they've given to us the Word of God, that we might take hold of His Word. Then you have the prophets. I use my pointer finger to represent the prophets, because the job of the prophet, of course, was to point to things to come, but also to point to the truth, to point out things that are wrong. And we see the apostles and the prophets established early on in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 20, that they mention the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, while they're foundational gifts, meaning that they have been put into place, the foundation of the apostles and prophets is none other than the only foundation which can be laid, which is none other than Jesus Christ our Lord. But I'm glad to know that the apostles and prophets are all settled in the Word of God. Principally, yes, prophets pointing to the truth, speaking forth the truth. But in person, we don't see apostles and prophets walking around today here. That's why we often refer to ourselves as non-profit organizations. Well, then you have the evangelist, which I let my middle finger represent, because it's the tallest one of the whole hand, and the evangelist's work is to reach out the very farthest. And as the evangelist reaches out further than the rest, is to reach out to the last, the least, the lost, and bring them into God's family through the wonderful, powerful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hasn't changed a bit. It's still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Then we have the next finger, and that's the pastors. That's the thing that we're taking up, but understanding this great working together, the pastors I let my ring finger represent, because it has a ring that reminds me of the love relationship that we have, that I have to my bride, and that the pastors have for the bride of Christ. How the Lord Jesus loved us, gave Himself for us, and has raised up those who would care for His bride, care for the flock, and so that ring finger reminds me of that. But there was one more. We don't want to miss the teachers, of which there are many here today. The teachers, I let my little finger represent the teachers. The job of the teachers is to take the Word of God and get it into the ears of the people. And so, as we take it in, our desire is to realize not all are shepherding God's people. There are various gifts and variety of ministries for which we thank God. Now, we're zooming in a bit today and tomorrow on the shepherd's work, but always realizing that the shepherds are not at it alone, but we are working in together in conjunction with fellow members of the body, different men and women that have sought to be a help to God's people in every way, whether it's to ministry to boys and girls or other sisters or to the assembly of the Lord's people in our gatherings together. We see that there is a work for each one of us, and we thank God for the privilege of serving in that way. Hidden ways, private ways, personal ways, public ways. And so as we look specifically at the work of the shepherds, we take up the theme of His heart and His skill. Now, I think that's a perfect balance, don't you? The heart, it really speaks of love. The skill, it speaks of service. In fact, as we go right back to the Gospel of John chapter 21, as we read there in verses 15 through 17, you see this brought out so carefully after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus when He meets with Simon Peter. Simon Peter was a fisherman, you know. God was going to take a fisherman, whom he had turned into a fisher of men, and now he was going to recommission a fisher of men to be a shepherd of sheep. I don't know about you, but it makes my head spin just a little bit to realize the variety that God not only has in the body, but sometimes in the individual believer, and the readiness, the willingness to do whatever needs to be done that he gives into our hearts. And so as he takes up this matter with Simon Peter, he asks him three times. That's a different word in the Greek. We understand. I trust that you understand. I don't believe it was because Peter denied the Lord three times, so he had to say, "I love you" three times. I don't think the Lord goes tit for tat, do you? But rather, he's touching Peter's heart with the motivation that you and I need. Do we love him? And so he asked him three times, verses 15, 16, and 17, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" I wish I could be more dramatic and say, "Do you love him? And do I love him?" So much so that it would echo into our hearts to say, how much do we love the Lord? Now, we love him because he first loved us. There's no lack of measurement and fullness there. He couldn't love us anymore, and he won't love us any less. And he loved us enough that we would respond with a love for him. But when the Lord Jesus asked Simon Peter, he asked him concerning the highest form of love, "Do you love me?" And Peter, when he responded, he could not profess to have an all-out love for God, but he said, "I'm fondly affectioned towards you as a brotherly love should be." Well, there's going to take more than that, isn't it? Because brotherly love won't get you through. And so as we look at the love that the believer has, and especially in serving as a shepherd, we want to pray that the Lord will cause our love to abound yet more and more, that it would be God's love through us. So as we seek to see that in balance, and then skill, the abilities that God gives in our service. I like the balance, don't you? It's like the rod and the staff of the shepherd in Psalm 23. You get it either by the rod and staff or by hook and crook, but we need to get it. We need to get it desperately. Now you notice it's the heart of the shepherd. Let me just give a little word of encouragement, exhortation, if you will. It's not the head of the shepherd. You know, a lot of times we operate things by our head more than our heart. Now, we give a gospel invitation. We say, don't just believe in your head, believe in your heart. You don't want to miss heaven 18 inches. In the work of God, you don't want to do it with your head. We don't need another CEO of the assembly, do we? We have one already. Our head is in heaven. And he's the head of the church. He's not looking for a head and skill of the shepherd. It's not even our hand. Not just our service of busy activity. It's not our mouth, a voice of authority, if we get to make the announcements on Sunday morning. It's not even our computer skills, even though oftentimes we're printing up bulletins, arranging the directory, scheduling the speakers, and all these things. Now, elders have to do all these administrative things, I understand. But when you get to the bottom line, it's got to come right back to my heart. Do I love him? Do you love me, he asked. What is our love like for him? Those three times, I would like to just take a word each of those three times concerning our love for him. It has to be a devoted love, doesn't it? One of devotion. How is our devotion to the Lord? It should be from the heart. I would do anything for him, wouldn't you? Look what he's done for me. How could we ever do less than give him our best? Well, sometimes we come so short of that, don't we? And love, well, it has a compulsion in us to say, I want to be wholly devoted to the Lord. All the way back in Deuteronomy, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Your whole being from the heart. And it starts with all your heart, doesn't it? So we want to have a wholehearted love for him, a devoted heart for him. I remember I was talking to Brother Bramhall years ago, and just starting into ministry, I was asking him about one phrase here and one phrase there, a third phrase here, and all of a sudden he looked perturbed at me. He said, "You're just looking for sermons. Stop it." I got the message. He said, "You'd be better off preparing your heart than preparing the preaching." It touched my heart. I still prepare. And we all should be prepared and study to show ourselves approved, a workman who needs not to be ashamed. But ultimately, you can stand up and have all things in hand, but not in heart. We need to take it to our hearts, don't we? And be devoted to Him. Devoted with Him. You know, if you love someone, you spend time with them. Nancy tells me that all the time. It's true, isn't it? If you love the Lord, you spend time with Him. It may be hard to take a couple of hours a day before you leave from home. But isn't it nice that you can take the Lord with you? Where does He dwell? Well, the universe can't contain Him. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You being rooted and grounded in love. Isn't it wonderful we can commune with Him all the time and spend time with Him and enjoy the communion that we have with Him? It's our devotion to the Lord. Would you take just a moment, slip over for a little meditation with me in that great shepherd psalm, Psalm 23. I love Psalm 23, don't you? I can just hide out there. I find people that are struggling with matters medically, like dementia, Alzheimer's. Many times, Psalm 23 is just the door that opens up a heart that remembers from way back. Sometimes these sad conditions and diseases or illnesses, many times they help us just to forget all the problems of life and go back to remember the important things we learned as children. I wonder what the next generation will have to recall. It's worth considering, isn't it? Many times when I've visited patients in an Alzheimer's wing, when I couldn't get any communication out, I just said, "Well, I'd like to read Psalm 23. And as I start to read, without fail, either they're repeating the words with me from memory, or if I pause, they'll fill in the empty blank. It's amazing, isn't it? Would you think about the devotion we have with the Lord who loves us and surrounds us with His care? And let me just ask you, as we look at each surrounding characteristic of our shepherd's love for us, if that's the kind of heart we have for Him, from Him, and for His people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He really does supply everything we need. Look at how He surrounds us with His care. Verse 2, and I'm going to use it in a prepositional outline so you can easily remember it. And the very first preposition in verse 2 is, "Under me, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Beside me, still waters. Within me, He restoreth my soul. Ahead of me, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. With me, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. For me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Before me, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Upon me, Thou anointest my head with oil. Over me, my cup runneth over. Behind me, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And ahead of me, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Just think of it. That kind of love. Don't you want to spend time with Him and let Him surround you in His care? You want to know how to love the Lord and how to love His people? It's all right here, isn't it? To give that kind of love and concern and care just as He cares for us. It's a matter of the heart, you know, and it all starts at the heart. It's not only our devotion to Him, but it's also our desire. That's where the desires are, from the heart. The desire we have, well, it is from the heart. Not that old heart, for out of the abundance of the heart Not only does the mouth speak, but all evils come. But that's the old heart. We got a brand new heart. And the new heart we have, he says, we can bring good treasures out of it, like the desires that he has given us, the desires of our hearts. When it comes to the work of shepherding, Paul writes to Timothy, and he mentions the second of five faithful things. This is a faithful saying: if any man desire the work or the position, the office of bishop. In other words, if anyone desires to do this work, it's a good work that he desires. It's not a wrong desire to be a help to God's people, as long as our motive is right. What is our motive? Do you love me? It deals with our devotion. It deals with our desire. The desire Peter speaks about. And you know, you always notice in Peter's two epistles the things that he learned in his relationship with the Lord Jesus. Whenever you're reading something in 1st or 2nd Peter, you can always relate it back to the things that he learned in his life through the ministry of the Lord Jesus as he was discipled by him. Peter says, to the shepherds, to the elders, that our service is not by compulsion, but willingly, out of the desire that we have to please him and to serve him. It's the love of Christ that constrains us, isn't it? And that's the desire that he's put in our heart. Thirdly, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Well, our third one has to do with diligence. Again, looking at matters of the heart, besides the devotional love of the believer for the Lord Jesus, enjoying his love, having a desire to serve him and to serve him with all of our heart, we come to diligence. That's also a matter of the heart, isn't it? In the book of Deuteronomy, right after it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, you know, he also says to serve him with all your heart. How should we do our service for him? With diligence. That we would do it with all of our heart, not a half-hearted effort. You know, sometimes, as one has prayed and mentioned earlier this morning, it's easy, isn't it, to grow weary. Don't lose heart. Take heart. Get a hold of it and realize that we'll reap if we don't grow weary in well-doing, that there is a reward and that there is a blessing to be had. And many times it's just when we get to the very end of ourselves that he's able to step right in and be all that we need to get us through and to accomplish his purposes in us. When I used to drive Brother Bramhall around, I was his boy chauffeur. You know, that's where you get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And when I used to drive him around, he said, "Now, boy," that's the only person ever called me boy I wasn't offended about. "Now, boy," he said, "when you start traveling around, they're going to tell you all the problems in the assemblies." And I said, "Brother Bramhall, what would I say?" He said, "You tell them what I tell them." I said, "What do you tell them?" He said, "I tell them to take it to the head of the church." It's true, isn't it? That's where we go with our problems. Where do the elders go with their heartaches? Casting all our care upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. Now that kind of care should be inviting to people and should draw us closer not only to him, but if we show that kind of care, the Lord's love through us, we'll find that people will come to us. Now don't you bear that burden. You take their cares and you cast them on him. He's got enough care in his heart to care for your problems and theirs too. Take it to the head of the church. I've sat with a couple of groups of elders just in visiting that has warned me of how easy it is to try to bear the burdens of the local assembly. And I'll tell you, you can't do it. I remember one group of elders that were planning a mass resignation. I said, "You can't do that. You stepped up. Yes, you can step down, but you can't resign." And maybe it was just the word they needed. I didn't have a scripture for them. But they were growing weary and well-doing. We get that tired sometimes, don't we? But it's nice, isn't it, when we can be an encouragement to each other. And so he says, "Listen, do it with diligence. Don't lose heart. Give it all your heart. And as he promises, he'll reward if you don't grow weary. Have you lost heart? Have you found at least half a heart? You ask the Lord to make it a whole heart that you can give it to him in our service for him. The work of the shepherd has to be from the heart. And what's in our heart? You know, if we crowd it with all these other things of the world, it's hard to find room, isn't it? That the Lord would have center place. You know, we're talking to elders and shepherds. It's amazing if you were to look at your schedule or just to ask each other, what do you do with your time? If you're crowding your heart with the things of this world, there's no room for him to take center place. Give him your heart. Let him take the right place. You'll find renewed strength. Wait, the psalmist says, on the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, and just enjoy his presence. The heart of the shepherd, it's got to be fixed on him. My heart is fixed on him. Secondly, we're looking at the skill of the shepherd. Now, when we talk about the skill of the shepherd, as you go right back to John chapter 21, and there we read not only how the Lord asked Simon Peter, do you love me? But now he said, feed my lambs in verse 15, tend my sheep in verse 16, and feed my sheep in verse 17. I sure enjoyed Brother Tom Wilson's ministry this morning. Right on the mark, and always a blessing. I also remember P. Ernest Wilson, Tom's father, and the fatherly way he was always endearing to us and would take the time just to say, come on over for a visit. And while we were together at a conference down south, I was bearing my heart for him, to him about some difficulties we were going through in the assembly. And you know what he told me? He said, an elder, I hope I can get this right, an elder needs four things. I pulled out my pen, started to write on my hand, and he said, the four things an elder needs, and Brother Tom, you'll have to help me if I get it a little wrong, but he said, first, he needs a tender heart to understand God's people and their problems. Secondly, he needs a listening ear to hear and to really listen with his heart. Thirdly, he needs a strong shoulder to lean on and sometimes to cry on. And fourthly, I ask, he said he needs the hide of a rhinoceros. Did I get it right, Brother Tom? Something along those lines. I think I remember the hide of the rhinoceros more than anything else. You know, it can just roll right off if you have a heart set for the Lord. What do we need as shepherds in order to feed the flock of God? Well, that's what Peter, a fellow elder, tells us to do. I wonder if Peter, when he wrote those words to the elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, when he said, feed the flock, I wonder if he thought back about feeding the multitudes. When Philip said, you know, all we have is a little bit, just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the Lord said, well, Philip, you go ahead and feed them. Well, they didn't have much. But they brought a little bit, gave it to the Lord, and the Lord turned it into a lot. If you're looking for an alliterated message, you got leftovers after that. If you're going to alliterate, you got to watch your P's and Q's, I know. So he says, bring the little bit that you have, give it to me, I'll use it to feed the flock. That's a good way to pray, isn't it, before you stand up and before you try to minister to someone, even one-on-one. Lord, give me the right words, your words to say. To Peter, he says, feed my lambs. I'd like to take those three exhortations to feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. And in those three, just consider what it means to talk about the skills of the shepherd. When we talk about skills, and I appreciate the wording of the outline, I think it's a perfect word, skills. We're talking of abilities that are acquired and put into practice. First of all, the abilities. What abilities do we have? Well, the Lord has given us natural abilities. We have the things that God has given to our human life with abilities to listen, to see, to hear, to speak, to do all these things. that people relate to. We have skin on our face, as someone has said, so that there is a person to come to. Well, it's part of the abilities that God has given us, humanly speaking. Those are usable. But that's not all there is, thankfully. We have spiritual gifts. God wants us to utilize everything that He has given to us, and isn't it great? Rather than go count up the gift list and see which ones you might have or might be lacking, you got something better than that. You've been given the Spirit of God, who is the giver of the gifts. He's the gift of the Spirit, and in Him, the filling that you need, He'll supply everything you need to have in order to minister. Not only talents, spiritual gifts, but a cooperation. Again, we're not in this alone. When I start looking at my abilities, I'm more concerned about the lack. But isn't it nice to know it's His ability? Who makes us sufficient for these things? Our sufficiency is from God. The ability that we need is to respond to His ability, to allow Him to supply the need. You remember that great hymn, don't you? He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He giveth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction He addeth His mercy. To multiplied sorrows His multiplied peace. His love really does know no measure, doesn't it? There's no lack of strength with Him. But think of the second verse. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength is failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. He does supply the need. So when it comes to abilities, use what He's given to you and trust Him for what's needed for the rest. Secondly, tend my sheep. Well, there is the care, isn't there? And here we see these things are acquired. Not just abilities, but where do we get these abilities? Well, they're passed on from one to another. Here's just something I've observed over the last 30 years in the assemblies. That many times the older ones who have the experience are just waiting for a younger ones to come and to ask their help. While the younger ones desperately need the help, but they're embarrassed to ask for it as if it's going to open ourselves up. I like to include myself on that side. Open ourselves up that we don't have all the answers. Listen, none of us have all the answers. The skills of serving, they're acquired over a lifetime. And when you get to the end of your lifetime talking with older people, you know what they tell me? I feel like I'm just starting. Just scratching the surface. But wouldn't it be something to go home from a conference like this and to approach older saints to say, would you teach me what God has taught to you? That's the principle of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. The things you've learned and heard and seen in me, those things entrust to faithful men who will be able to do the same thing as well. And so passing it on, excuse the paraphrase there, but passing it on from one to the next to realize, if you're older, isn't it nice just to talk with someone who's younger and say, if you have some time, I'd love to just have a good visit with you. Now, you don't have to be old to be older. If you're older, you've got somebody younger. Find them and start the process now. Brother George Sharp, what an encouragement he was. Many of you remember him well. He told us one time, he said, you know, I was concerned as I was growing up as a young man in the Lord. I asked one of the elders, I said, what am I going to be like when I get old? He said, George, you'll be just like you are now, but worse. He said, I thought at that very moment to be gracious as a young man so that as I got older, I would be gracious as an older man. Now, I know those who have more years of experience would want nothing more, nothing better than to pass it on to a younger man. Let's not sit on each side of the room to say, I wish a younger man would come and ask. Why not go after that younger man and see if you could spend some time with him? And a younger man, don't be embarrassed. They're just waiting, longing. Their days always have an opening for someone who has a desire to acquire the things that the Lord has taught them over the years. Well, where are we going to learn these things? Learn them from the chief shepherd. He shows us. He had compassion on the multitude. They were like sheep going astray, weary and bothered, like sheep without a shepherd. Oh, we learn a lot from our chief shepherd. How about some of the fellow shepherds we have? Like Peter. I, who am your fellow shepherd. He teaches us. As a fellow shepherd, we can learn lessons and acquire the gifts that God has entrusted to the Apostle Peter. How about some of the other shepherds in the Scriptures? Moses, for one. You know, he learned how to be somebody down in Egypt, but he learned how to be nobody out in the desert, following the sheep. How about Jacob, who endured all the trials, the drought, the cold, the wild beast, and all these things. And Jacob teaches us much about shepherds. Look at David. Or how about just some of our contemporaries, right here among us, shepherds who have been faithful for years. These things are acquired. But lastly, these things, when he says, feed my sheep, are applied. How are they applied? Well, they're applied by putting the things that we're learning into practice. Don't be afraid to do the things that we've been taught through the Scripture. You know, sometimes we read something in the Scripture and we think, you know, this would really be good, but I don't think I could do that. No, test the Lord in the application of the truths of feeding the sheep, tending the sheep, feeding the lambs. He supplies it. Put it into practice. Do it. And as you put it into practice, well, we have a son and daughter in medical work. Our son's a doctor, our daughter's a nurse, and we're not very patient. Well, I always have a one-liner for Sid and Angie. I always ask them, are you still practicing? Practice makes perfect. But you know, the practice of these things is where things are perfected. Now, we're not talking of ever being perfect, but we go on to perfection, completeness, that we might have a full ministry, that we might be utilizing all the things that God has given us in skills, those abilities, in skills that are acquired, in skills that are being applied in our ministry and reaching out to others. They're not only in practice. There's the perfecting of the saints. This is what the Apostle Peter prayed for. Let me take you just one more verse. Over to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. In this same chapter where Peter identifies as a fellow elder, he says, the elders who are among you, this is 1 Peter 5, 1, you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder. And then by the time you get down to verse 10, here is his benediction. As an elder, this is what he's praying. He says, but may the God, this is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I just want to tell you that the practice you put into place will perfect or will complete the work that God has for us through his body. He promises he's going to bring it to fruition. It will be complete and finished. And lastly, it will be proven. And it's proven as we read, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And would you finish that reading with me? Amen. Now you know you've just committed to something here. When you say amen, it means, Lord, let it be so. The heart and skill of the shepherd, Lord, let it be so. Let me do my part from the heart so that when I return, I won't be led so much just by my head, but I'll be starting at the heart, spending time with him, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus so that you can have something to give to others. And the skills, I don't want to stop learning, do you? We haven't learned everything yet. I told my son, I said, I taught you everything I know and you still don't know nothing. We got a long way to go, don't we? But isn't it good that the Lord takes a little and he turns it into a lot if it's used and passes through his hands for his glory and honor? that we use the skills that God's entrusted to us for His purposes. Shall we pray? Our blessed Father, as we bow before Your presence once again, we want to thank You for the time that You give us in Your precious Word. Make these things a blessing and prepare us. Make us useful in Your hand, Father, for every good work. And bless all those who are here, Father, with the challenge to our hearts to give it all of our heart and all of the things that You provide for us to use as we exercise the heart and skill of the shepherd. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. Amen.